As Pat said, we only have 10 minutes in this closing, so I can't deal with everything either. But Pat ended on this great appeal. By the way, I do not believe that I am a better debater or a better speaker than Pat is. I'm woefully aware of my own inadequacies, but this is not a beauty contest. This is an appeal to all of us to look at the Word of God. I certainly recognize that he has, I think, skills to present his position. But he closed with this appeal. Look at this verse, folks. He didn't write it. I didn't write it. If you're a Catholic Protestant, you've got to believe it. My contention, and I say this in love, and as Pat said, I say too, I'm here out of love, first of all, for God. We've got to love Him with all our hearts, soul, mind, and strength. And we love our neighbors, ourselves, for the sake of loving God. So I'm here by the grace of God because I love God, I want to proclaim His truth, and because I love you, secondly, and I want to bring God's truth to bear upon my life, first of all, and upon your lives as well. This verse does not teach, ladies and gentlemen, what Mr. Donahue wants it to teach or thinks it teaches. It doesn't say what he keeps putting into its lips, that Scripture thoroughly furnishes you. It says that Scripture has all of these qualities with which I do not argue. It's inspired by God. It's profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, so that the man of God, a man who is not, how does he become a man of God? A man who knows nothing, who just picks up a Bible and says, now I'm going to read this, and now I'll be thoroughly finished. It presupposes a larger context. That's all that I'm saying. A larger context that Timothy has received from Paul. A context which includes oral instruction, not just the receiving of written, inspired words. Scripture has been given so that it's been added to the equation, so that the man of God has received all these things, as well as Scripture, may be perfect. Thoroughly finished. It doesn't say that Scripture thoroughly furnishes you. It says Scripture is given so that the man of God, what makes him a man of God is that he got the Bible, because again, anyone can go in and buy a Bible. He's had this other written instruction, oral instruction, so that he may be perfect. This, plus what makes him a man of God, makes him perfect, thoroughly finished, all good works. I accept this verse. I do not accept the meaning that he has read into it. He erases all of this or ignores it. I'm not saying deliberately or intentionally. He draws a line from here and says, Scripture thoroughly furnishes us. Grammatically, if you look at it, that is not what the verse says. In fact, what's ironic is that Paul can remind Timothy, open up your Bibles, please. Turn to verse 8, just 8 verses before this one. Paul can remind Timothy how two men named Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses in the court of Pharaoh. How does Paul know that Pharaoh's magicians were called Jannes and Jambres? Those words do not appear anywhere in the book of Exodus. If Paul were a practitioner of sola scriptura, he would say, you know, I'm not going to mention their names because the only thing that we can really trust is an inscription in Revelation. Paul had taught Timothy that their names were Jannes and Jambres. It was passed on by tradition, oral tradition, which was equally authoritative and useful. All right? So this is reading something. Did you see what I'm saying? The Bible doesn't tell you the names of those magicians. The tradition alongside the written revelation does. And Timothy was blessed to be the recipient, the beneficiary of both, as every person is who obeys the command of 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Hold fast to all the tradition, whether it's a written tradition, the Bible, or an oral tradition. Even the Protestant doesn't receive the full written tradition. He mentioned the 66 books. But all the councils which met and said, these are from the apostles, these are not. And then give us the list of the 27 books of the New Testament, the list that every Protestant is the unwitting beneficiary of. Because the Protestant does not sit down with all the ancient documents and say, I'm going to come up with my own canon. He accepts as a gift from God the canon that the church, meeting in council after council, tells him. This is the list of trustworthy books. But every one of those lists, ladies and gentlemen, that lists all 27 books of the New Testament, the Council of Carthage in 393, the Council of Hippo in 397, gives you the list of the Old Testament books, and guess what? There are 7 books in the Old Testament that Protestants have cut out of their Bible. 1st and 2nd Maccabees, Tobit, and Judith. So the Protestant does not even follow his own principle because he says, you know, I walk around with a New Testament that has 27 books, but my Old Testament doesn't follow the same list. I reject 7 books. And he believes that he rejects them because they're not the Word of God. But how does the Protestant, individual fallible Protestant, know what is the Word of God and what isn't? Now again, I'm only going to say one more time, it is not fair to make me, as a Catholic apologist, not only have to debate the topic of tonight, which was, does the Bible have a verse which really teaches Sola Scriptura, which I've shown you it doesn't, but have to also defend the Inquisition, which is a whole, you know, this is hit and run apologetics. I could come up with, if I wanted to, I could come up with all kinds of, you know, episodes in the history of those who reject the Catholic faith or the Catholic teaching about the Bible and say, look at this, it's ready, look at that, and expect him to defend them all. And that's, it's an impossible task. It's easy for him to throw up an overhead and say, Inquisition, what do you do with that? It would take me time to explain what the Inquisition was and that there is nothing to apologize for there if it's properly understood. And you peel away the mythologies and the misperceptions and the propaganda. It's not fair for me to have to come up and give a teaching now on what the Catholic Church teaches about lying. Lying is a sin. In fact, even his own quotes contradicted each other. Because one said that if one didn't give someone the truth that they're not entitled to, like you're hiding some Jewish people in your house and the people are pounding on the door, do you have any Jews hiding in your attic? Are you obliged to say, yes, I have 7, go on up and kill them, okay? That is not a lie, to not tell them there are 7 Jews in your attic. But it is false to say that any book of Catholic moral theology says it's okay to lie. When one of the quotes he says, it says it isn't okay to lie. There's, if you withheld some needed information from someone that they said it was needed and it isn't, that isn't a lie. But I don't have time to give you a disquisition on what the Catholic Church is about, the sinfulness of lying. Lying is always a sin. We can have a talk about that sometime. My job today is simply to say, don't read into these passages what they don't in fact teach. Zechariah 13, I didn't say that it had to happen in 24 hours, Patrick. I said, Zechariah 13, even though that day is that whole apostolic era, says, in that day there will not be prophets. And that is not what the passage means if it's teaching on Sola Scriptura. Because according to Sola Scriptura, there were prophets. In the day of Christ establishing the church, in the day in which the fountain was opened up, in the day of the apostles preaching, it's after the day, after the last apostle dies, that there are no more prophets. But that's not what Zechariah 13 said. Zechariah 13 doesn't say, after that day there will be no prophets, but in that day. It is not referring to what Patrick Donahue thinks it's referring to. What it's referring to and the interpretation of prophecy, we can have another debate about some other time. The question, folks, is simply, that does the Bible teach in any of these passages that the Bible is all that you need? He says, we learn it from 1 Corinthians 13. You don't learn it from 1 Corinthians 13. It says nothing about Scripture unless you read it into that. So there are many things that I could say about Sola Scriptura. I could say that it's illogical or unreasonable because you can't accept the Bible, which the Church gives you, and yet reject the authority of the Church. I agree the Church is not the truth. It's the pillar and foundation of the truth. But does it uphold the truth? According to the Bible, it does. Has it given us the correct books of the Bible? Yes, it clearly has. But you can't then turn around and impeach your own witnesses and say, but I reject what this same early church teaches about infant baptism, the necessity of receiving the Eucharist, and so on and so forth. You can't accept the Bible and reject the church. It's unreasonable. I could say it's unhistorical because nobody taught it. Pat Donahue, you cannot give us a single instance of any ancient Christian writer or anybody before Wycliffe, 1,300 years after Christ and the Apostles, saying, Sola Scriptura, Sola Scriptura. If this is what Jesus and the Apostles taught, how come nobody mentions it? Until there's a concerted effort on the part of people to reject the authority of the Church, to try to hold on to a piece of the Christian revelation and to reject huge chunks of it. I could say that it's unworkable. Because everyone practicing Sola Scriptura ends up interpreting the Bible in different ways. It is not the case that everyone who says, I'm just going to believe what the Bible teaches, all believes the same thing. And yes, I know he said there's perversion and hardness of heart, and I agree with all that. I see that among the lives of those who profess to be Catholics and are not. But Sola Scriptura was never given by God to be a recipe for arriving at the fullness of the faith, because God never tells us that in these passages. We need the whole Word of God. I agree. He said the Word of God is our sole source of truth. I totally agree. But every time the Protestant hears the phrase the Word of God, they read into that Scripture. Word of God, Scripture. But that's not what the Bible does. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And Paul wasn't just reading the Scriptures to them. He was preaching truth that had not yet been written down. And that's the point. The final damning thing about sola scriptura is not just that it's unhistorical or unreasonable or unworkable. It's that it's unbiblical, ladies and gentlemen. None of these Bible verses or any other Bible verse actually teaches you that the Scripture is all that you need. That's what this verse would have to say. It doesn't say. It says the man of God will be furnished unto all good works by the whole process of which Scripture is a part. But it doesn't say Scripture is all you need. That's what it would have to say if the Bible taught sola scriptura. Thank you very much for listening.